Mutual Investment Group do great things. Welcome to the program. 3M Future Africa scoring a victory in a marathon trial against MTN Standard Bank. We'll catch up with the entrepreneur behind that story. His name is Wolfram Reyners. He is from Germany. And I'm interested to find out just how significant a battle this is. And if it's, if you've ever been in a position, and many of you contact me to say, I have had this great idea and I'm convinced that company A, B, or C, stole my idea. Company A, B, or C always says, but we had the idea first. That's what Standard Bank and MTN seem to suggest in this case. The High Court, however, disagreed fundamentally. So welcome to the program this evening. We'll talk to Caroline Snyman now. For years, we've heard how the newly enriched Chinese elite is pushing up the price of everything from French vintage wines and all sorts of booze, collectible booze, to unprecedented levels. And lots of South African companies have got businesses in China. The latest to make an acquisition is Distell. It's bought a 60% share in a liquor distributor called CJ Wines and Spirits, and it's a great opportunity, for example, to take Amarula to the Chinese. Caroline Snyman, the head of the spirits business at Distell, joins us now. Is that the strategy here, Caroline? You buy a controlling stake in a distributor into China, and that provides a platform to take what we produce here and sell it to the Chinese.
Absolutely, Bruce. I couldn't have said it better myself.
I'll get some copywriting, shall I? Some copywriting fees. But that's essentially the strategy. Where is CJ Wines based? Is it a Hong Kong-based company or mainland China?
Mainland China, based in the south of China, in Zhongshan. And south of China is very important to us because it's also what we term the cognac belt. So if we look at China, it's also the largest market in the world for cognac. And both in terms of value and volume, and hugely important to us from a cognac perspective because of our Bisquy cognac brand.
Now, I wanted to say Bisquy, but I didn't know how to pronounce it. You bought Bisquy a couple of years ago. It's a French brand. It's a chateau in France. And that distribution channel for that particular Bisquy cognac brand is crucial.
Yes, absolutely.
And how big can Bisquy be in China? What are the big brands there at the moment?
Well, all of the big cognac players are there. It's really sort of hunting ground for the cognac players. And actually today I received the latest growth statistics from France, from the Exporters Association there. And it's really over the last 2 years, the US has always been the largest cognac market by volume, but very recently overtaken by China, both now in volume and value terms. And if we just look at shipments into China, grew by just under 10% on volume, but by 21.5% on value. So the Chinese really value premium spirits, in particularly VSOP and XO cognacs, and that's where the big market opportunity lies for us.
Okay, so Bisquy is the big one that you wanted to take in and get some value out of that acquisition a couple of years ago. What about homegrown brands, the brands that are doing so well in Europe, for example, Amarula being the big one?
Yes, we believe that there's big potential for Amarula as well. So Bisquy and Amarula will be the focus for the start of this new venture for us. And then over time, we'd like to learn more about what China has to offer and see what other products we can bring into the market over time.
And we know that SAB Miller, of course, has got a very substantial joint venture in China. More snow beer is drunk in China than any other beer in the world. There is a thirsty population of up to, 1.2, 1.3 billion people. You've only got to scratch the surface of that to get a business probably bigger than South Africa's.
Absolutely, yes.
And what other brands would you look to take in?
At this stage, the focus is primarily Bisquy and Amarula.
Bisquy and Amarula going into the Chinese market. Caroline Snyman, the head of the spirits business at Distell. I find it absolutely fascinating. Yeah, the Chinese have become the biggest importers of French cognac. It used to be the Americans. Please don't tell me that global dynamics, economics are not changing. But certainly, is it a short-lived thing because the Chinese have got all this cash that they're sitting on and there's lots of new wealth, lots of new money looking to show off, and there's no way, better way to show off. Just look at the Tsar Bar, for example. I had a glimpse into the Cape Town Tsar Bar toward the end of last week, and certainly lots of well-heeled individuals spending a lot of money on booze. It's all about image. It's all about those brands. And of course, it's about quality ultimately as well. But Amarula is the big success story within the Distell Group. But what's leading the charge is a French cognac they bought probably 3 or 4 years ago called Bisquy. So Pablo Fatidis poses a question on Twitter this evening, an African perspective on a British business book, The Rebel Entrepreneur. Is it worth a read? I don't know, but I'm hoping Pablo will give us an insight this evening as to whether or not The Rebel Entrepreneur is worth a read or not. Certainly, it seems like a top quality read. A lot of the ideas being espoused in the book are similar to those of Pablo's as well when it comes to his attitude towards business plans, for example. The Rebel Entrepreneur is not a big fan of the business plan, nor is the PAV. So we'll talk about that this evening too. Winnie in Cape Town, are you something of a cognac connoisseur?
Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
Hi, good evening. Yes, I just heard it on the radio now, and I'm very excited about that prospect of Distell moving Bisky certainly into China. It's a very comparable cognac to the big names that we all know. But the most exciting thing about it is that we can showcase our South African brandies, which are world-class. And Distell produces most of them.
Exactly right. I mean, what they don't have is whiskey, but what Distell does have in huge quantities, courtesy of its grape interest, is brandy. And it does provide us, as South African exporters, I suppose, of liquor into that market with an opportunity as well. When you compare, I don't know, a top-end Distell home-grown, home-distilled brandy to a Bisky then, does it hold its own?
It's very similar. I mean, our brandies regularly win prizes, like the world prize for a specific brandy, like an aged brandy, 20-year-old, 15-year-old, 10-year-old. And they all compare to the famous brandies of the cognac region.
Winnie. I mean, it's a bit like our Cup Classiques are fantastic, but we can't call them champagne. We can't call our great brandies cognac as much as we want to, even if they are as good. And it's cognac.
No, we can't. But I think as far as brandy is concerned in this country, we can compete very, very favorably. And our brandies at that top end are not cheap either. They're not as expensive as the Biskies of the world and the Martell and all of those very expensive ones from cognac, but they're certainly not your everyday purchase. I mean, some of them are up to R1,000 a bottle.
Winnie in Cape Town, thank you very much for your call. Great call this evening. Certainly applauding the entry of Bisky via Distell into China. Any other aficionados want to back up or disagree with Winnie's sentiments on brandy? I'll take your calls. Not often does a little guy succeed against the mighty corporation, but a story about a company that has succeeded not against one, but two entities who it said stole its idea. 3M Future winning a court battle against Standard Bank and MTN's joint venture, Mobile Money. And Professor Wolfram Reyners joins us this evening, director of 3M Future Africa. Wolfram, when you took this fight to the High Court, did you really think you could win it?
Good evening, Bruce. Yes, of course we thought we could win it. I mean, we have prepared this legal battle for more than 4 or 5 years, and we wouldn't have started if we couldn't think that we are on the right side.
4 or 5 years of court action, you've got victory in the High Court. What exactly was it that MTN and Standard Bank helped themselves to that they shouldn't?
Well, our innovation is the credit card, the secure credit card or debit card, which sits on your cell phone or your smartphone when you pay a remote merchant who is, say, on the telephone or on the internet, and you can pay with your card. Swiping a plastic card would anyway not be possible, and your card is automatically switched off after the payment, so nobody can defraud you, and only you can switch it back on with your cell phone. That is the invention.
So the invention was the ability to switch on and off a credit card based on the cell phone.
That's right.
And which Standard Bank and MTN claimed, oh no, we thought of this already, despite the fact that they had your documents and your IP in front of them for a period of time.
Well, the case actually goes back up until the year 2001, when we approached several banks, amongst those Standard Bank, and they asked for a period of exclusivity, quite a lengthy period of exclusivity, and we were in a sales pitch with them for about for more than 12 months. For a year, and during that time, I mean, they requested something like 30 or 40 meetings and workshops from us, and also a full specification and a proposal for the project. So there's no way that that they knew about this thing or had anything in planning by that time.
So what does this court victory give you, Wilfred? Because this is, I mean, this is something that's 11 or 12 years old. You've been engaged with Standard Bank on this particular basis, and you've been fighting them for your rights over at least the last 4 or 5 years. What do you get in return for your court victory?
Yes, I mean, I think the major point is that we are very glad that with this court ruling, innovation is still possible in South Africa. Innovations usually come from small companies. Most epoch-making inventions even came from individual inventors, I believe. And those are so important to create jobs for the economy in general and therefore for every citizen in South Africa and even for the fame of our country. And inventors don't earn money often for many years, and protecting invention is very expensive. You have to employ patent attorneys and they write you high bills. And if it's not possible to approach large corporates in confidence to bring great innovations to market, and if need be to enforce their patent rights in court, you will kill inventions and innovations at the very outset. And this will be to the detriment of every citizen in our country. You know, if inventors are not effectively protected by patent law, they will simply run off with their innovations on a CD to the United States or to Europe. And suddenly an originally South African invention becomes a U.S. or German innovation. And all the benefits for our country, like job creation, foreign income generation, tax creation, are lost for all citizens. And to prevent this, this is what we were fighting for.
How big is 3M Future Africa, well, from that you've been able to withstand the power of the mighty MTN and Standard Bank for the last 5 or 6 years, taking them through the court process?
Well, 3M Future Africa is a very small company. I mean, the purpose of 3M Future Africa is to create technology innovation. So think about not more than 2, 3, 4 people at the time, but smart, intellectually high-powered people. So we are a small company, but we have partners, and we could secure litigation funding to actually go through this case at full length in the last years.
What does it cost you, Wolfram?
Well, I can only estimate that at the time. I mean, we had lots of celebrations in the last days, and we didn't quite add up the cost, but I think it's ran into the multi-millions by now.
5? 10?
No, I think well beyond 10 million.
Well beyond 10 million rand. So is there financial compensation for you as a result of this, as a result of this ruling? Do they at least have to cover costs?
At the moment, there is no financial compensation. I mean, what the court has ruled so far is that three of our claims in our patents are valid and they are infringed by Standard Bank. That is the ruling at the moment. So the case is not over yet. Soon we will ask for the second stage, which will be an inquiry into damages. That means that Standard Bank will have to open their books and then can quantify, you know, how much damage they have actually caused.
Professor Wolfram Reyners, director at 3M Future Africa. Fascinating story. The Money Show is brought to you by the Old Mutual Investment Group. Do great things. Welcome to the